Good evening, Bristol Bay. All eyes are on the Quijac River escapement. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game is considering closing the Naknek Quijac District as early as Saturday in order to boost escapement to the Quijac River. If that happens, it would affect fishing in all five Bristol Bay districts. It's July 6th. I'm your host, Avery Lill, on tonight's Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
Coming up tonight, we'll talk with Naknek Quijac Area Management Biologist about the escapement that he's seeing today.
Well, this morning things were not looking good as far as improving escapements, but it's looking better this afternoon. The last two tides at the Inner River test fishery have been very good.
Fishing in the Noosh has been going gangbusters all week. KDLG's Austin Fast rode along with a few set netters on the 4th of July.
Hopefully, you would immediately see lots of splashes in the net, indicating that you were catching lots of fish. Unfortunately, that is not happening currently, but, you know, give us some time.
Those stories and more on tonight's Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
Support for KDLG is made possible by generous support from the Bristol Bay Fishermen's Association, advocating for fishermen, online at bristolbayfishermen.org.
Before we go any further, the numbers. In Nugashik, no catch posted today. A cumulative of 363,600 sockeye caught so far this season. Today's escapement up the Ugashik River was 25,000. That puts the season cumulative at 59,900. Total run to Ugashik right now, 523,000, with an in-river estimate of 100,000. In Igigik, the daily catch, 163,000, for a cumulative 1.3 million sockeye caught. Daily escapement, 168,000 for a cumulative 700,000 escapement as of yesterday. In river estimate, 120,000, and that puts the total run to Igigik at 2.1 million. The Naknek Quijac saw a daily catch yesterday of 285,000 sockeye, cumulative catch, 891,700. Daily escapement, 343,000 for a cumulative escapement in the Naknek Quijac district of 1 million. In river estimate, 150,000, with a total run of 2 million. So let's break that down by river. The Alagnek River posted escapement yesterday of 10,800 sockeye for a cumulative of 75,700. Quijac River saw an escapement of 75,000 for a cumulative 168,000 escapement this season. The Naknek River saw an escapement of 256,900 yesterday. That puts it at 762,700 fish total up the river. The Nooshgek District posted another big catch, not quite a million. 962,000 fish caught yesterday for a cumulative 11.3 million sockeye this season. Daily escapement, 519,000 for a cumulative escapement in the district of 4.4 this season. Total run sits at 15.7 in the Nooshgek District. 15.7 million, that is. Let's break that down by river. The Nooshgek River sonar counted 1,357 kings yesterday. That puts the king total at 75,000. Sockeye, 52,000 for a season cumulative 467,000 up the Nooshgek. Chum, 8,500 yesterday for a total of 500,000 chum escapement. The Wood River Counting Tower saw 449,000 sockeye yesterday and another 72,000 before 6 a.m. this morning. That puts the total to the Wood River at 3.8 million sockeye. The Agushit Counting Tower saw 18,500 sockeye yesterday, another 3,654 by 6 a.m. this morning. That puts it past the bottom end of its escapement goal. It sits at 163,000. Togiak Counting Tower has counted two full days. Yesterday, it saw 402 fish, another 54 sockeye before 6 a.m. this morning. Total escapement to the Togiak Counting Tower, 876 sockeye. In the Togiak District, 5,700 sockeye caught for a season total of 37,700. Daily escapement again was 402 yesterday, total escapement sitting at 876. That puts the total run to Togiak at 38,569. So for all five Bristol Bay districts, we've got 1.4 million caught yesterday. Total catch, 13.9 million. Total escapement yesterday, 1 million. For a cumulative escapement of 6.1 million across all five districts. Total run to Bristol Bay, 20.5 million. Sockeye per drift delivery, Igigik, 524. Naknek-Quijack, 595, Nooshigak, 709, Togiak, 61. Let's look at where the boats are. Vessel registration as of 9 a.m., Igigik, 315 permits on 259 vessels, 56 D boats, 254 vessels in 48 hours. Naknek-Quijack, 264 permits on 232 vessels, 33 D boats, 274 vessels in 48 hours. Nooshiak, 897 permits on 663 vessels. That makes 234 D boats, 670 vessels in 48 hours. Togiak, 36 permits on 36 vessels. Those numbers should remain steady for at least 2 days. Ugashik, 128 permits on 99 vessels, making for 29 D boats, 108 vessels in 48 hours. Now let's take a look at the Area M fisheries. So far, to date, Nelson Lagoon has caught 844 Chinook. To date, they've caught 22,677 sockeye. Port Muller to Outer Port Hyden, to date, has caught 507 Chinook and 206,234 sockeye. So the season total catch on the North Peninsula is 228,900 sockeye, 1,351 kings. We've got the Port Muller numbers in for the next stock composition. So these are for samples collected July 2nd and 3rd. Of the fish sampled, none were returning to the Kuskokwim, none to Togiak, 4.2 to Igushik, 23.8 to the Wood, 18.1 to Nooshigak, 17.7 to Quijack, 1.7 to the Alagnak, 16.9 to Naknek, 16.9 to Igigik, 0.6 to Ugashik, none to the North Peninsula. We're still waiting on today's daily catch update from Port Muller. I'll read yesterday's just in case you missed it. In the 4.5-inch mesh at Station 4, 4 fish caught. In the 5.5-inch mesh at Station 4, 1 fish caught. At Station 6, 16 and 15. At Station 8, 3 and 4. At Station 10, 1 and 2. At Station 12, 5 and 10. At Station 14, 20 and 19. At Station 16, 9 and 8. That makes for a total of 58 fish caught in the 4.5-inch mesh yesterday, 59 caught in the 5 1/8. That'll do it for the numbers. I'll be back in just a moment.
Support for the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report comes from Deep Sea Fisheries Incorporated, working to provide top-quality Alaskan seafood with a commitment to sustainable sourcing. Serving Bristol Bay salmon fishermen with the Big Creek Fisheries Shore Plant since 2008. More at deepseafisheries.com.
Yesterday, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game announced that the escapement on the Quijack River was tracking 5 days behind where it needed to be to meet its minimum escapement goal, and as a result, it may need to close the Naknek-Quijack District as early as Saturday and move fishermen into the Naknek River Special Harvest Area. I checked in with area management biologist Travis Ellison this afternoon to see how the situation is looking today.
Well, this morning things were not looking good as far as improving escapements, but it's looking better this afternoon. The last two tides at the Inner River Test Fishery have been very good, and we flew an aerial survey today, and so now our estimate for in-river went from 150,000 this morning to 450,000 as of this afternoon. So that's a big improvement. That helps catch up. I don't know. It doesn't get us out of the woods yet. The next big piece of the puzzle is what is coming out of Port Muller test fishery and the genetics from July 3rd, and we'll take a good hard look at that and make a decision for what we need to do tomorrow evening for Saturday night.
And do you know what components you would need to see in order to not close the Naknek-Wejek District?
I don't have a hard number in there, but, you know, so far the highest component we've seen for Kwejak's only been about 10%, so I'd like to see maybe double that, something showing that there's some actual strength to the Kwejak run.
Since that conversation, the Port Muller test fishery numbers for July 2nd and 3rd have come out. Again, 17.7% of the fish sampled were headed to the Kwejak River. Not quite the 20% Ellison was hoping to see, but still a stronger showing than previous samples. If the Naknek-Wejek District does close, then the Igigik District will close as well, and fishermen will move into the Igigik River Special Harvest Area. In all five Bristol Bay districts, dual permit boats will no longer be able to fish the extra 50 fathoms they're usually allowed. More on how this will affect fishermen in the district after a short break.
Support for KDLG comes from Alaska Eagle Eye, locally owned and operated with car, truck, tool, equipment, and adventure gear rentals at the King Salmon Airport. Committed to getting you on your way in Bristol Bay. Reservations at 246-CARS.
Support for KDLG comes from Nomar in Homer, Alaska, working year-round to make gear for Alaska fishermen and offering brailer and slush bags for the fishing season. Information at nomaralaska.com or 1-800-478-8364.
KDLG's East Side reporter Mitch Borden talked with some set netters this afternoon in Naknek to see how they're preparing for the possible move to the river's special harvest zone. He brings us this report.
Lori Cockrell considers herself an old-school set netter. She just finished walking along her line near Peterson Point in waist-high water, picking her net.
I told my son, I says, the day I die, you could go with a skiff, but until then, I'm sticking my boots in the mud.
She's only caught about 250 pounds of fish today and says the season's been a little slow so far. One thing Cockrell has noticed is the fish she's pulling in are small, which makes her think they weren't headed to the Naknek River.
These little guys coming through are meant for the Kwejak. So I just hope and pray that they go up and help our numbers out so we don't end up in the river for the special harvest.
The Kwejak River has been struggling to meet the Alaska Department of Fish and Game's escapement goal for it. So, Eastside fishermen may be forced to fish closer to shore and some even upriver. If managers decide to make this change, they're hopeful this strategy will let more sockeye into the Kwejak, but it's causing set netters to scramble. Cockrell went up the Naknek yesterday to stake out a spot and was surprised to see there weren't many places left to claim.
Well, I'll tell you the truth, I thought I was ahead of the game, and I went up last night following the beach, and they were already staked out.
It can get really stressful fishing up the Naknek River, according to Cockrell, and she's not the only person that thinks so.
The river is a nightmare. I got a spot up by Leader Creek where I could go put my net, but there's times when in the river they give us short openers, and we have to swim to put our line out, our net out, and I kind of getting old for that.
Carol Ann Hester is also a set netter that doesn't use a skiff. She's decided if fishermen have to head to special harvest areas, she'll be done fishing, at least commercially.
So we're gonna go subsistence fish and just fill our smokehouse really full.
All in all, Hester doesn't believe this year's season will turn out how it was initially predicted.
When it started, it looked like it was gonna be good, even though it was coming late. But right now, the way the numbers in the Kwejak are, I see that anyone who went fishing in Dillingham did the right thing, and that's my assessment. Otherwise, we're over here having a real good time on the Naknek because every day is so beautiful and we live in paradise over here on the edge of ever.
The set net period in the Naknek-Kwejak district was extended earlier until tomorrow at 3 p.m. and fishermen in the Ikigek and Neknek Kwijak districts will also find out if they'll have to head to the special harvest areas to help conserve the amount of fish being caught in the Kwijak River around noon. In Neknek, I'm Mitch Borden.
We've also been watching the escapement on the Igigig River closely this season. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game switched the fleet there to fishing the morning tide in an effort to boost escapement earlier this week. I checked in with area management biologist Paul Salamone to see how effective that move was. Talking escapement on tonight's show, and we've been tracking Igigig for a while. Looks like it posted a pretty good escapement yesterday. What are you seeing?
Numbers I'm pretty happy with. Last time we talked, I had mentioned that I had, was doing something specific to try to get escapement, and it worked. As of this morning, we're at 700,000. The minimum is 800. My midday tower counts are promising. And by the time we're done with it today, I think we're going to be either real close or almost in within the boundary. So that gives me some room to work, which was kind of the idea. So I'm pretty happy with how it went the last couple days.
And last time we talked, you switched to the morning tide. Is that something you're likely to stick with if you meet escapement?
At that point, I had switched to the morning tide to provide some opportunity and to get escapement from what I perceived to be the high volume tide. I think it worked well. We did get some harvest, and we were able to take enough fish upriver to get us real close to the goal. So as for that little segment, I think it was a success. Now we moved on to the next segment. So we'll reassess for a little while. We have some room to fish for a couple of days. A lot of how we fish depends on what happens in the Naknek district. So I'm kind of waiting to see where that goes before we move too far in Igigig. I've got something in mind for it if we go down that road, and it seems likely.
Right, and I wanted to ask you about that also, because if the Naknek Kwijak district closes, that means Igigig also closes and moves into the special harvest area. What does that mean for you guys in terms of management and fishing?
It pulls us into a tighter area, which with a reduced fleet is actually a better thing than having them spread all the way out. And the reason for that is to focus on Igigig fish and keep the fleet contained where they can harvest those more effectively rather than having it spread out and perhaps harvesting fish that are traveling on the edges of the district that don't belong in Igigig. As far as strategy goes, I'm going to wait and see where we end up today with escapement. And it all depends on whether we need to catch some or to allow more through.
And then anything to say about Ugashi at this point? I know it's still a little slow over there.
It looks like the numbers of fish that we had in river are beginning to get to the tower. We're still trying to get a handle on travel time, but either way, I was comfortable I was going to need more fish, and we still need some more fish upriver, so I'm mulling how to approach that. It's getting towards the time when the Ugashik run typically shows its biggest numbers, and I'm going to need to get a few of those, if not most of them, upriver at the moment. So we'll see what happens.
And does that concern you at all that we're getting to the point where it normally shows big numbers and you're still waiting on those fish?
Not really. It is a little bit later run. I mean, it does taper well into July towards first part of August. So it's just the fifth today. I'm not saying it's too early yet because it's not. But we still have a fair amount of space to go there.
Still plenty of time for them to get there.
Yeah.
Well, those are about all the questions that I have for you. Is there anything else that folks in your district should know?
Not at the moment, except for to stand by at noon tomorrow. We'll try to get as much detail about the direction as possible on the noon announcement.
The Ugashik River just met its minimum escapement goal yesterday, and that means all three rivers in the Nushagak District have met or far exceeded their minimum escapement. Here's what area management biologist Tim Sands has to say about what this means for management decisions in the Nushagak District.
Right, so we have escapement goal ranges in all the rivers. And on the Wood River, obviously, we've gone over by quite a bit. The Nushagak and Ugashik River, we've met the lower end of the goal. But the big question for the fleet out there is, when will we waive the transfer period? And we don't waive the transfer period until we are at the mid-range of each of those escapement goal ranges. So that's 635,000 on the Nushagak and 275,000 on the Aygushik. And I think it'll happen, but I don't see it happening much earlier than Tuesday, would be my guess. Certainly it could. Things, you know, we could get a big push into escapement and things could go by quicker than that. But if I had to guess, I'd say Tuesday-ish.
Harvest in the Nooshigak District has been pushing close to or over a million sockeye every day for a week now. KDLG's Austin Fast hopped aboard a setnet skiff headed to Coffee Point to see what he could catch.
4th of July is the traditional peak of salmon season for Nooshigak Bay. Typically, you can look over the side of the boat and see salmon stacked one on top of the other riding the tide, but somebody forgot to tell the salmon this Independence Day at Coffee Point.
This isn't the way it is all the time. They can't all be million fish days.
No. 29-year-old medical student Matt Krimp has been set netting near Dillingham with his family since he was a kid. Eager after those big days earlier this week, Krimp climbs into his aluminum skiff amid the crackle of kids' bottle rockets at Kanaknak Beach Wednesday afternoon. After a couple minutes at full throttle, Krimp kills the motor at a steep patch near Coffee Point where the mud slides down to meet the incoming tide.
You kind of lease a spot of mud here, and like, if we're not fishing here, someone can come here and set a net out, but if we kind of come up and say we want to fish here, they have to leave, basically. So we've gotten to know this patch of mud here pretty well.
Both Krimp and his partner Galen Eggleston have permits, so this is the first of two nets they'll set tonight. 20-year-old economics student Piper Kurtz is in his second summer working for Krimp. He explains they've hit a little snag with their tangled net.
We pull the net up to this buoy up there, and then once we clip on, we get in the boat and just pull the net out into the water. Today we're gonna probably have to stack the whole net on land just to get it organized first.
Krimp guns it, pushing the skiff at an angle into the current so the 300-foot net drifts back perpendicular to shore. Then they drop an anchor overboard to hold it all in place. One more net a few lee sites down the shore, and Krimp steps back to evaluate.
Hopefully, you would immediately see lots of splashes in the net indicating that you're catching lots of fish. Unfortunately, that is not happening currently, but, you know, give us some time.
These fishermen have plenty of that to go around. Krimp says they kill time with scintillating conversation, word games, naps, and food, but only food of a particular type.
We got some granola bars, we got some sunflower seeds, Fig Newtons, chocolate, sandwich. Oh yeah, I know, I should probably eat this, huh?
My brother recently instituted a health food sort of thing. So we used to have a lot of candy bars out here, but now we're kind of like trying, yeah, more protein bars that tastes like sand. So.
But we're not bitter.
No.
There's another option to kill time while waiting for those fish.
Do we have any ice?
Time for a visit to the 7-Eleven of the seas, the tender.
Ice, gas, hot cocoa on a cold night. Great company.
Got a taco stand in there?
Oh, I wish. Well, Randy used to do some really good spam musubi, actually. Okay.
Once the guys gas up and shove off the Fayette, it's finally time to check the nets, which are teeming with fish.
Flounder, the main bycatch of our set net operation. And our arch nemesis.
Not a single salmon in that net, but plenty of bottom feeders. As they heave the net across the hydraulic roller and pick fish out of the mesh, Eggleston offers this advice.
Gravity's always your friend. That way you don't beat up your hands.
Yeah.
The more gravity you can use, the longer your fingers last.
Krimp throws in that liberal use of
ibuprofen, actually, is also a best practice for set nets.
Eggleston says this season's been switching between big bursts of salmon and super quiet days like today.
If you're not out here, you're not catching fish, obviously, but sometimes it does pay off to get a little extra rest on a tide if there aren't much fish, and then, you know, be that much more aware and alert and have the physical strength to actually handle the big runs of fish when they get here.
Yeah. Often we do stick it out, but if it's like this and there's just like absolutely no fish and it's the 4th of July, we might bag out a little earlier.
They've got a barbecue and ice cream sundaes waiting for them back at camp. That's an easy choice on a holiday. These guys don't get down on themselves for wasting time or gas, and Crimp says that optimism is key to fishing.
Being able to sort of be cheerful in maybe some unpleasant situations for a long period of time and kind of keep a good attitude maybe when you're uncomfortable and might be cold and wet outside and a little gross. And I think just having that good attitude counts for a lot.
After picking three fish from that first net and reeling it back into the bow, Crimp motors the skiff over to check the other net.
Oh, we got a flounder. We got a flounder.
It's better, but not by much.
This might be the worst we've had this season, yeah.
Pull up the anchor and then
deliver all of our fish here.
The Tinder's crane hoists their brailer bag from the fish bin to weigh its 10 sockeye. 52 pounds of fish. As clouds dissipate and the breeze dies down, Crimp has a theory on what went wrong.
There can be a million fish going up the wood or something like that, but they're right smack in the middle. We're not getting any of them, and sometimes you need a little bit of weather to kind of push them out here.
Back at Kanakanak Beach, Dillingham's kids have multiplied along the shoreline, armed to the gills with firecrackers. Crimp gives Kurt some friendly advice on backing the truck through them to drag the skiff from the water.
Just don't mess it up because all these people will be watching you, okay?
Oh, I thrive under pressure.
Kurtz handles the pickup like a champ.
Okay, that's a wrap.
And the guys head back to camp to celebrate America. That record haul can always wait until tomorrow. From Kanakanak Beach, I'm Austin Fast.
Before we go, a quick word about fundraising. KDLG is a nonprofit radio station, and we're supported by our listeners. Next week is our fund drive. We do this once a year where we ask you to show support for local news and local radio. But we know that doing that can be tough when you're on the water. We piloted a new way to donate last summer. Marjorie Dunaway is one of the fundraising coordinators, and she explains a program called Pounds for Public Radio.
Well, last year, a number of us at the station were trying to figure out how to make it easier for commercial fishermen to donate, because in the past they would call up on their cell phones or maybe in the old days on the radio and make a pledge, and then they would pay that later or give us a credit card number. And so we devised this program called Pounds for Public Radio, whereby fishermen could donate pounds of salmon to KDLG through their processor. So if a fisherman is making a delivery, he can say, I want to donate 100 pounds to KDLG. The processing company would then determine the value of that 100 pounds, subtract any taxes that might be due, and then give KDLG the net donation for the value of that fish.
So supporting this fish report is as easy as telling your processor when you're making a delivery that you'd like to donate a certain number of pounds to KDLG. They'll mark it on your ticket, and you don't have to think about it again. Four processors have committed to participating so far.
Leader Creek will be accepting donations just on Friday, July 13th of our pledge drive. AGS and Icicle, I believe, will accept them all week. And then North Pacific said they would take donations all season. So for the fishermen out there, just check with your processor and ask about it when you deliver fish.
I love getting to be here with you on the fish report in the summer and on the newscast reporting regional news year-round. More than ever, I believe that local news is vital, and having reporters who live in Bristol Bay telling our stories is important. I am so thankful for your support that makes it possible for me to be here. Now, we've got a couple of messages to the fleet. Another happy birthday for Hunter Berger on the fishing vessel Lulu. Happy 18th, Hunter. We love you from your Aunt Cat, Uncle Paul, Oliver, and Sawyer. Then we've got a message to the ladies aboard the Kindred Spirit. Hello from Lauren's family and Ippy. Here's to lots of fish coming your way in the next few days. Stay safe and fish on. We're starting something new on the Fish Report, Knights and Knaves Logic Puzzles. A quick recap in case you missed last night's show. You're on an island with only two types of people, knights and knaves. Knights always tell the truth, knaves always lie. Last night's puzzle was two people approach you. The first says, we are both knaves. What are they? The answer is, the first is a knave, the second is a knight. So now you've had your warm-up, here's a new one. This riddle also appears in the magazine Popular Mechanics. On the island of knights and knaves, you're approached by two people. The first one points to the second and says, he is a knave. The second one says, neither of us are knaves. What are they actually? I'm going to say that for you again. On the island of knights and knaves, you're approached by two people. The first one points to the second and says, he is a knave. The second one says, neither of us are knaves. What are they actually? Something to ponder. That's all for tonight. I'm your host, Avery Lill. Thanks to Mitch and Austin for their work on tonight's show. Tune in this week for more fish news. Remember, we've got an early show on Saturday and Sunday at 1:30 in the afternoon. It re-airs at the usual times, 6, 10, and 2 a.m. Best of luck out there. Stay safe and fish hard.